Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us today. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker Network. Talking real estate.
Yes, last Saturday in September.
What?
Yep.
90 degrees.
Whoa.
Of 2016. I mean, 19.
My calendar says March.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, did I miss something?
6 months of
I tell you what,
hysteria.
It's been busy, and, you know, I always tell people, if you talk to me ever, and they say, how's it going? I'll say, I'm busy. And I'll say, if you're going to have a problem, that's the one you want.
Yes.
And so
how'd
I would
you like
rather
those numbers I sent you yesterday? So Chris is the he is the master report. I love to analyze reports. What I don't like to do is try to figure out how
report
to pull the information out of a compass.
You send JD the data, he'll tell you what it means.
Yes. Chris likes to – he can structure a report now. So I had a free moment yesterday, and I said, I'm going to pull me a report for next month.
Yeah.
How many Glenn are possible for next month? Now, we won't close all these. I mean, there's a million things that happen, as you know, that lead you down the primrose path, but –
Yes.
Anyway.
There's at least a 10% fallout one reason or another, because something will come up. You know.
Gets pushed back. Closing gets pushed back. Appraisals come in low.
But it's about, 15% higher than we have been on, and what we're on right now is 120% higher than what we normally do.
Yeah, at least. So,
and the numbers reflect that, both increase in new construction sales and then a jump in our numbers monthly.
Yeah.
That was, who would have expected a 10% year-over-year monthly increase?
Well, I remember
locally.
In February of this year, we talked about, this is before the rates
dropped.
That
was panic. February was panic after January numbers.
It was, and then we talked about, we'll see what happens
That's
in
right.
October and November.
Yes, I had started to put food stores away and started on the bunker.
The basement.
Because we're going to need something to eat. It's kind of like, I'll never forget, I was taking Mitchell to school during the downturn one time, and he's listening to the news, and they're talking about the stock market and how it's getting beat to death. And Mitchell said, I mean, he must have been 8, 9, something. He said, Dad, what happens when that thing hits zero?
Yeah.
I said, we'll be planting corn in the backyard.
Yeah, that's right.
Get us a couple of chickens, and we'll have corn and eggs for lunch every day.
Yeah.
And now it's 27,000.
Yeah, exactly. But it was and almost hit 30. So
the real question is, what happens when it hits 40, Dad?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. You better put some money in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's going in the right direction. But, you know, to JD's point, we are super busy and glad to be busy. And I'm always amazed at how many of our listeners are taking our advice and pulling out their mortgage statement and saying, hey, JD, look at this. And I know just from talking to him this week, he's had a couple that were, keep what you got. You're in great shape. You got it at the right time. You got it at the bottom. You need to stay where you are. And we've had a couple that are amazing, especially in that jumbo market.
Yes.
I looked at one this week where we had done a portfolio loan and going to cut this by a half point on about $600,000. And a half point on $600,000 will save you some money.
That'll save you some cash. Yeah, shorten the term up.
That's what they call real money.
Yep.
You know, when I talk about picking up 100 out of the driveway, we're talking about picking up 400 out of
people,
the driveway.
People wake up. You guys are going to be surprised. You know this, but people wake up thinking about real estate. I've gotten two emails this morning already from clients.
They say, what time's the show start?
Consultations. Yeah, they want to know. They want to know about refinancing because rates are so good.
Yeah.
So.
And they are. So if you're thinking about refinancing or just want to know whether you should, shouldn't, could, or couldn't, then shoot JD a copy of your mortgage statement or just an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we'll be happy to take a look. And it's a grand total of free, so you can't lose.
And the thing is, you know, not only rate and term refinance where you're either lowering your rate or lowering your term, which are very popular right now, still a lot of people taking cash out of the equity that they've accumulated here over the last you know, seven or eight years.
We just had one, JD, where a lady, her family got in bad shape, and she was the one that had the access to credit. And so she had spent over the last year, the medical emergency, she had spent $40,000 over the last year. Good news is that's not going to reoccur. And she was looking to roll that 40, you know, into a shorter, you know, she's on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. And so perfect consolidation loan. Put it on a short term, didn't drag it out forever. Oh, and on your one we were just talking about, not only did she cut 400 out of the budget, she cut 5 years off the term.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, that was good.
Said that.
And for our veterans out there that maybe have a VA loan, the interest rate reduction loan, we got a guy had a 3.75. You're like, I got a good deal, right? No, Keith, we can do better. 3.25. Save this guy about $150 a month. No closing costs.
Well, that's a no-brainer, and you call that an IRL.
Yeah. IRL.
IRL, yep.
The interest rate reduction loan.
Yes.
So special to the VA.
Anybody who has a VA loan 3.75 or higher, that's 3.75 or higher, you need to get a hold of us as well.
Yeah, own it.
That's right.
And borrow all you can, by the way.
Yes, that's correct. Well, listen, we're going to head into our first break. If you got a
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the buyer's broker. Apologize for leaving on the last break there. Our clocks were messed up. Thought I had about 10 seconds left, and I was over for 10 seconds. So
yep.
I probably got cut off midstream there.
It's not fun when you're in the booth and one clock says one time and one clock says the other time. And it's even more or less fun when you're reading the wrong one.
It's even, yeah.
If you're reading the right one, it don't matter.
The only thing worse than that is if you got the closing is scheduled for the 28th, and everybody on our side thinks it's the 30th.
Ouch.
That always kind of messes things up, too. But that does not happen.
So if the closing date changes, it's very important for you to email everybody.
Yes.
Everybody knows immediately.
Seller, attorney. Lender,
no, not in
buyer.
That order. The mortgage company first.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you that most of the time when we get a request to move it up and
or move it back, either way.
Ours is generally move it up is, hey, you know, we're done. Let's move it up. The LO's like, move it up, move it up, move it up, move it up. And I'm like, look, before we move it up, you go call everybody.
And make sure.
Because if one of these people can't be here, it's not going to happen. And I will tell you 90% of the time, the seller or somebody else, does not fit in their plan to move it up. The attorney can't do it, or the seller won't do it. And so, you know, you're right, though, Keith. You got to start there because, having a closing without a package or money is no fun.
No. I've sat in one before.
Yeah.
Well, just last week, right? Yeah.
Well, it was a challenge. It wasn't particularly moving it up, but if the
I'm not talking about moving it up, just getting it there on the date you plan.
No, it can be. I texted JD in the middle, Chris and JD in the middle of a closing, and I said, missing County Bank Mortgage. Because the closing didn't go well. The LO was, he just didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he was inexperienced. I just don't think he was.
Well,
he was interested in trying to make it easy.
Yeah, well, he was trying to practice real estate. and I texted him or sent him an email. I said, look, every real estate transaction is different, and you don't know any details about this transaction.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was giving the client advice, but he didn't have any understanding of the uniqueness of the transaction.
Well,
every single one of them are different.
Yes, and it's just like we talk about. That's why we offer a customized mortgage solution, is because they're all different. No loan, no matter how simple, is the same as any other loan. And, there's always something on there.
Right.
You know, I had a deal this week, purchase, and we were in the middle of working through the loan, and the borrower had a $22,000 bill to the IRS from 2006, knew it, and didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then once we discovered it, we said, hey, you know, you can set this up on a payment plan and we can still close. And they said, I'll give them $100 a month. And the IRS said, nope, we'll take a grand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the deal ended up not working. And the first thing that the buyer said was, I want my earnest money back. And I'm like, well, you know, we're going to deny the loan.
That's right.
And then you can fight that fight.
But that's contractual.
We'll give you the letter.
Yeah, that's part of the whether or not you get your earnest money back is a function of the contract of sale.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about this that I got was the seller came back and said, no, the customer and the loan officer are friends, and we think that the turndown letter is not legit.
Yeah.
We think that they have cold feet. And it was the exact opposite of that. They were dying to buy the property. So that was a very, very interesting situation. And then, of course, I had another one this week where, you know, people with names that are common, you know, like ending in Williams or ending in Smith, you know, John Smith, John Williams, a lot of times a judgment will show up on title and it's not them. And so, you know, those kind of things tend to come up at the end. And when they do, you have to stop the bus and deal with it. And that's an unusual situation. And if you don't know how to deal with it, it could cause some trouble.
Pain, angst, and consternation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But we need some questions this morning. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we'd love to hear from you. 866-442-7553. And then, of course, text. You could always text 71307. I would also invite any of our listeners that have ever, or anybody who's ever done any business with us, to check out the new website.
It's up and running.
We got the new website up and running, finally. Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Don't blame.
It's been a work in progress for quite a while.
But we would invite you to go check out countybankmortgage.com and give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
I will do that today.
What do they call the
road out here, the spaghetti junction they're building?
Yeah.
Gateway Project.
That's what it was. It was a gateway and it was a project. I'm telling you, it was quite the project. But we'd love to hear from you in the morning. Buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a shout, 866-442-7553. Or you can hit us on the text line, 71307. We'd love to hear from you. I tell you, another thing I had come up this week that is very interesting is a lot of folks, Keith, I'm sure you come across this from time to time, will want to put their property in a trust to protect their interest and to, you know, just it's just a better way sometimes to hold title. And one of the things that we ran into this week is somebody who had put their property into a land trust instead of a regular family trust. And, of course, Fannie and Freddie will not lend on a land trust. So if you're planning on putting a property in a trust, or if you have a property in a trust, you want to make sure that it's not in a land trust if you plan on borrowing money from Fannie and Freddie, because they just won't do it.
And a lot of people are using trust today. Living trust is, I don't want to get into the legal conversation, but many people are putting their primary residence today in a living trust.
Yes.
And Chris, correct me if I'm wrong here, you can, if you're the trustee, then you can obtain the preferred tax status if you are the trustee.
That's
and
what
a
we
living
see.
Trust is revocable while you're alive.
Yes, and then, of course, you can't use that to try to work around. We had one this week where they had written in the trust, hey, my daughter's going to live there, and so, therefore, it will be her primary residence, and we get the 4%. Well, you know, that's not our decision. That's the county's decision.
Yeah.
But the other thing that did is the person was trying to borrow the money through the trust on a second home, and it's not a second home if somebody else lives there. Even if you don't charge them rent, you know, part of the definition of being a second home is that the owner has to have exclusive use of the property, unrestricted. And of course, the thought process there is if somebody else lives there, you don't have unrestricted use. So, you know, the loan has to be done as an investment property. Doesn't mean it can't be done, but it just has to be done a little differently. So if you are putting your home into a trust, you know, obviously you're going to be talking to an attorney, but you need to make sure that they understand that you may want to borrow money from Fannie or Freddie in the future, and then you would want to avoid a land trust because that gets in the way.
Yep.
And the difference, right. The main difference, not trying to practice law here, is that a land trust can only hold property, real estate property, whereas a regular trust can hold all kinds of assets.
Any type of asset.
Yeah, securities, stocks, bonds, that kind of stuff.
So, Keith, what do you think about the, we talked about the numbers a little bit last week, and obviously August, I think, was up 10%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What do you foresee here in the last 3 or 4 months of 2019?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because I was thinking about it prior to the show as I was waiting to come in. And I think you're going to see it come back to that 2 or 3% increase versus...
I think this was
a little bit of an anomaly, this 10% jump, because it was the end of the summer, interest rates dropped down. Now, having said that... If you look at the low country numbers, we didn't talk about those. We didn't have them last week.
That's true.
But they were down a little bit.
Down 4.6%, 1,800 this year compared to 1,887 year over year August in the low country. So they were down 4.6%. And for the year, down 1.1%. 12,972 last year, 12,835 this year. So... almost flat, but down 1%.
Yeah, and if historical performance predicting what it typically does from the low country, we follow them typically 6 months or so. The trend in the upstate parallels what happens in the low country. Now, we've seen that consistently over the years. Now, nobody knows. We'll just have to wait and see. But it wouldn't surprise me that next year we see a flattening. Having said that, in my newsletter this month, the construction downtown is just out of control.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think, Chris, you mentioned before we came in an article that you had found. I think it was you were talking about the 6,000.
New residences.
Or something, yeah.
You know, and of course JD said where they're going to go, and I said, well, they're gonna go out. Obviously, they're gonna merge it more of it together. But the crux of the article was that, you know, Greenville has been very successful in planning. None of that happened downtown by mistake, and they've updated the plan. And, you can go online and get access to it.
Just finalized it. That's
just
right.
Just finalized it to see what it is that they plan to do. The most interesting thing that I found, and of course, if you think about it, it makes sense, is they say, look, the Gen Xers are getting out. They want to go to the suburbs. They got two children, two dogs, and a cat.
That's right.
And they're like, we need space. And so they are moving out, and millennials – and the retirees are moving in because they want to lock it and leave it and be able to be on the move. And I would imagine that the same thing will happen again. So the millennials, as they start to have children, will say, I'm out. We need more space. The next generation will move in. And then the Gen Xers will be retired. The kids will be empty nesters, and they'll move. So it's a nice little cycle because the folks that they were interviewing that were retiring were like, look, we walk everywhere now. You know, we live downtown. We walk to where we want to go. We walk to the market on Saturday morning. We walk to every restaurant we want to eat at. We walk to entertainment events. And if we do have to take an Uber for some reason, it takes 3.5 minutes to get from one place to the other. And we're where we want to be. And they said they really had learned to love that lifestyle.
Right.
But I think if you really look at it, it does make sense.
Well, also, here's a little twist on all the conversation that you just had is that Generation Z, which is following the millennials, they are getting in the game early, where the millennials got into the game late. So the household formation, both in the millennial generation and Generation Z, is picking up steam.
Yes.
And Generation Z...
What's that, 20 to 25-year-olds?
That's roughly a little bit older than that, but 27, I think.
Well, and I'm convinced that part of that delay in the millennials was the fact that they were teenagers and young children during the downturn. They're that one generation that heard, hey, we bought this house for $425 and now it's worth $385 and we can't sell it. Or if we sell it, we're going to have to do a short sale. Mm. Maybe real estate is not the best investment in the world. And then you go to the next generation. What do you call them, Keith? Gen Z.
Gen Z.
Those folks have been up, they've grown up through this last rise, and they're more of a buy it on Monday for 100, sell it on Tuesday for 125. Let's make some cash.
Yeah. And millennials are Y. We just call them millennials.
Oh, they're Y.
Yeah, okay.
And then Z is the most recent young generation. But they seem to be saving money. They have a different attitude about housing, as Chris was just explaining, than the millennials.
That's probably why.
But the millennials are forming households quickly. They're in the game. They're going to be the largest
Yes, they will be bigger than the baby boomers, right?
For the next 15 years or so. Yeah.
Well,
and the trophy homes, we haven't talked about that, but people are right-sizing and inventory is growing on that trophy.
Yeah, I mean, 500 and above, you know, it's going to be easy pickings.
Yeah.
500 and above is not what it used to be. Yeah.
600 and above?
Yeah, maybe even a little more now.
Yeah.
I was at an open house this with lunch with Joan Herlong this week at River Reserve, and it was $1.4 million.
Yeah.
But the house had been relisted. It's going, you know, at $1.4 million, it's going to take you a year to sell it.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break for the news. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, we took a quick survey. We're going to do free calls and text in the second half of the show. We need to hear from our listeners. You can text us at 71307, that's 71307, or you can get us on the phone at 866-442-7553.
Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson and Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Phone lines are open. Chris has deemed free calls, second half of the show, so we're going to throw the number out there, 866-442-7553. And, of course, the text line is open as well at 71307. Text line has been a very popular feature here on House Plans over the last couple of years, so let's keep the text rolling in. 71307 is the text line. So, so the market is good and the Gen Zs are getting into the game and a lot of new construction that's out there and Keith says, put the brakes on here.
Well, I don't anticipate it to be this way. Interest rates were an injection to the
formula. I think so. Probably a little bit. Yeah.
This drop, particularly in the new construction market. I did see a couple of articles this week. One that, made the conversation that those who bought in 2009 had a $141,000 increase in equity on average.
Wow.
So if you bought, that would have been
right after the downturn.
And it when sellers were very motivated in 2009 and 2010, the bottom hit in, remember, June of 2011. But if you were able to buy in those years, you did very, very well, because the market came storming back in 13, 14, 15, 16.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, give us a ring this morning, 866-442-7553. Or you can hit us up on the text line, 71307. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker here to answer your questions about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate. I got a couple of questions, Keith, about that Charleston market for you. So anything that you would read into the fact that the price to contract percentage has gone down a little bit? It's only a 0.5%, so they're getting, you know, essentially 96.3 this year, whereas last year it was 96.8. Does that I know that's a small movement, but does that indicate to you anything at all about maybe the cooling of that market?
Well, it does, not because of that number, but if memory serves me correct, that number would have been closer to 98 2 years ago.
Yes.
And so if you remember in recent trends in the ups in the low country, you had to miss two or three houses. JD's probably more familiar with it than I am. Intimately, because I don't see a lot in that market other than the statistics, but you lend in that market and you know how frustrating it's been over the last few years.
It's actually, I would say it's been frustrating for people down there for 8 or 9 years.
Yes. I mean, well, it's been very hot.
It has, and I've got a friend. They finally just gave up. They just said, forget it. We're just going to find something we want to rent.
Oh, we're just going to rent. Yeah.
And they've been renting, and I give them a hard time about it. I'm like, you know.
But, you know, they still have an inventory, you know, issue down there. You know, the inventory is only 5,500 homes, which is still down 9.5% from last year, and they only have 3.5 months supply. Hence, the median home price continues to rise, up 5% year over year. So it's very interesting that, you know, and of course I like to famously say they can only build in three directions.
That's correct.
Well, and
know,
so
I have a little bit of a different take on why people are not selling their homes. And I would tell you that there's no reason in many cases for people to sell because I have a mortgage that is so attractive.
Right.
Why would I sell and buy? If you need to add some square footage, you can, of course. Not something that everybody's doing.
Or could handle.
But postponing the typical sell and buy because you have such a great mortgage rate, particularly in the low country, maybe not so much up here, but if you've got a home out in Wild Dunes or somewhere, your cost of maintaining that home is very low because of your mortgage.
Yes.
Now, and so why liquidate that equity now when you can just stay there with a
use the equity to improve it if you want.
That's
versus
right.
Moving.
Just hang on to it because it's doing so well. Then when it's time to buy that final home.
Well, and in my opinion, every real estate market is unique.
It
but
is.
Charleston is very unique. And you know, when I say that, you know, you've got the beaches out there.
The
you've
barriers.
Got Mount Pleasant. Mm-hmm. You've got downtown. You've got West Ashley. You've got Somerville. All those are very different
That's
markets.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, sometimes the inventory, as Chris mentioned, is low, but it's also lower and there's maybe less choice because you want to live in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah.
Or it might be old Mount Pleasant.
Well, you got a small circle.
Yeah, that's right.
You got a small diameter within which you're willing to live.
And
it could be school district related. It could be your friends and family related. But, you know, and of course, when you start drawing that circle smaller, then things tend to get more expensive.
Well,
a lot of times because you're looking at a smaller pool of homes. And then, you know, like when we talk to somebody who said, I got to live in Sugar Creek. Now, Sugar Creek is a huge neighborhood. But when you draw a circle around it, what happens is one goes on the market on Monday, and on Tuesday they got four offers. And so it's very competitive.
And I would be very interested to talk to a buyer's broker in Charleston that's, you know, very familiar with buyers down there and that kind of thing. I doubt very seriously they go, all right, look, here's Daniel Island. You can live here. Or we'll go over to Old Mount Pleasant. It seems like people would be having more.
Yeah, that's two crazy different markets.
Right.
If David called in and we were talking to him, by the way, he's a NAR director now. David, you know, he was president of the Board of Realtors. That's David Kent at the Real Buyers Agent in Mount Pleasant. But if David were calling in, he'd say, you guys are talking about statistics of the entire market. But each market, they break it down by county statistically. We don't discuss that. We don't drill down on that on the show.
Well, and this MLS is geographically
huge
because it covers three counties.
Five
counties. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a large area compared to our area.
That's right. And David would say you just can't do that. Each individual area from Mount Pleasant over to
Goose Creek.
It's
going to be part of the same market.
Is dramatically different than Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Well, and that may lend something to the fact that when you're looking at the, you know, well, I don't know. We don't talk much about the average sales price because, you know, that is significant. That's $100,000 higher than the median sale price.
It fluctuates too much from month to month.
I got you.
Average price.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, or at this point football, we'll talk about anything, you can give us
a... No, we're not talking about football.
Give us a text over at 71307, text line 71307, or you can hit us up at 866-442-7553. We just say one thing about football. The Dogs thumped the Irish.
Yeah, but they almost gave it away at the end.
You're just like a Georgia fan, not happy with the W. Be happy with the W, okay?
That was some of us
are just would love a dub.
The last 3 minutes were tough to watch.
They were trying. Notre Dame was going to try one of those late night heroic.
They did that against Clemson one time, and they got stopped at the goal line.
Yeah, they did. I remember that.
Yeah.
So I just be happy with the dub.
I am.
Okay.
But great game.
Be grateful.
I enjoyed watching it. We won't even talk about Carolina.
No, we will not.
I'm telling you.
Basketball season, I don't know if y'all know this or not, starts the first week of November. Thank goodness.
I have heard more Carolina. Listen, I'm going to tell this story, and I'm going to get in trouble for telling it.
Andrea's not.
After what was the game? Not last week, but the week before.
We got a minute to the break.
Okay, so we were somewhere, and my wife, she is a rabid Carolina fan. And she comes out, and she's like, we were with some friends, and she's like, that's it. I'm deleting all – she called it defriending. I'm defriending all of these people on my Facebook that are Tiger fans. I cannot listen to them anymore. And they better not ask me to pray for the sick mama either, because I'm not doing that. She was just insane with rage against the Tiger fans. And, of course, the rest of us just sat there and laughed at her. It was pretty funny.
Well, it is. It is funny. I mean, Drew was so mad. When
she said, Dad, I'm out.
When Clemson fumbled against Charlotte that first play, and they didn't call it a fumble return for a touchdown, he's going around. He's like, they get all the calls, you know. I said, you don't actually think Charlotte's going to win this game, do you? I mean, come on.
All right,
listen, we're heading to our final break of the show. They're going to run out of time. They're not going to text or call.
I know.
You know, they're not going to do it.
You know, we're in the fourth quarter.
Yep. 866-442-7553 is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans, and the technical difficulties are resolved.
Yeah, we only have 25 text messages and didn't know it.
Yeah, we had about 20 text messages, had no idea. But
you know, all those listeners are going, we are texting. Why are you not listening? We are texting. Why are you not listening?
That's very sad.
Well, we got them all at one time.
Well, we're all over 50, so we don't listen very well.
Yes. Well, we got a phone call, and we have 20 text messages that we're
And we're
going to
hit them all real quick. So let's go to Jenny.
Let's go to Jenny first.
Hey, Jenny.
Hello, how y'all doing today?
We're fantastic. Great. What can we do for you?
I'm sorry I got you on speakerphone. My phone's on charge. It's charging right now, so I'm talking to you on speakerphone. I apologize.
That's all right. Hit us up. What you got?
We have some property for sale right now listed with a realtor. It's State Park Road area, and it's been listed since June. And, you know, it's kind of hard waiting. I just wonder what the market right now is for property in the Greenville area.
Are you talking about just empty
land or
land,
single family
or are you talking about a house on it?
It's involved with an estate, but we have property that we have like 6.6 acres for sale right now, and it's undeveloped.
Okay, and are there any deed restrictions that would keep it from being developed?
No, we've had it surveyed, and we have the permit from the county, and it's good to go.
Well, I will tell you, one thing you could do is email a copy of that survey to JD, because we have people calling who are looking for land all the time, and we could certainly, you know, not to take the place of your realtor, but, I mean, we do know people that are looking for property, and so at least we would have it and could send it out. But, Keith, what's your quick thought on that?
Yeah, here's the first thought is the short answer is that Traveler's Rest in that area continues to be very desirable. So, obviously, when a property has not sold in 6 months, then you really want to look at a variety of things. Obviously, pricing is always very important. Condition, highest and best use. That's where Chris was going with his conversation, is maybe the house should be separated from the excess land and you market the excess land as a building site or two building sites. Always when a property is on a residential property is on a busy road, it typically is considered a negative in most instances. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind. But you need to go down the list of variables with your real estate agent and discuss each one of them separately and drill down deep. Price, condition, highest and best use, Typically, the homes for sale today, the broadband marketplace is very efficient, and chances are your agent is marketing the property effectively. But you probably want to look at each of those individual aspects individually and see if there might be some adjustments in any of those areas. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. I'm in this with my brother, and we've been talking to the realtor, and there's, I'm sure there's other issues involved. You know, because it's been on the market since June, but it's just been kind of, I'm just been kind of wondering, you know, kind of what's going on too.
Sure.
Well, the market is strong.
The market is strong.
But if it's only been on the market since June for that type of property,
August,
3 months.
Oh, yeah, that's only 90 days.
Yeah. And of course, you're talking about, you know, 6 acres. And, you know, it's not cookie cutter. But, it, you know, and also, like Keith said, you really need to sit down and talk to the agent and ask them this question. Why do you think we haven't had any activity? And then, you know, they may say some things you don't like, but you got to listen.
Yeah. No,
you know, they may say, well, we have it priced 20% above the market. And, you know, that's why. Or they may say, well, because of the topography. Or they may say, well, there's no water here. There's no sewer. They could tell you anything. Or they may say, well, this house, you know, isn't in the right condition. But just listen to what they have to say. And then the follow-up question to that is, what do you think would get it sold? And then listen, you know, listen to what they have to say. And then you don't have to do what they say, but you should at least get their input. And sometimes it's not fun to hear, well, you're out of the market here, or the condition is not what you want. But talking to that real estate professional is the way to get started, because they have insight into the market and they can give you some feedback. Oftentimes, like I said, you might not want to hear it, but, you know, it may help you reach your goals and objectives, assuming that it's to sell it.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Well, thanks, Jenny. We appreciate the call. And if you have any questions or want to send us that survey, you can email that to ask JD at County Bank
Mortgage. Or shoot an email with the listing, MLS listing. We maybe can give her some feedback personally.
Yeah, we could call you and give you some feedback. Just shoot it over to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be happy to give you some assistance.
Now, I don't know how I would do that. How I would go about doing that, though.
Well, you send him an email, or you can just call and ask for JD at 331-4663. And
all we need is an address.
Yeah, we can look it up. But just give us a call during the week.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Great question.
All right, Chris, let's knock these text questions out.
Yeah, so the first one we have. Yeah, the first one was, could we explain why the big box banks borrow money overnight to cover their expenses? And the bottom line is, if you operate a bank, big or small, every day you have to balance your balance sheet to make sure that you have the reserves needed to fund the loans you got funding tomorrow and to make the whole math work. And so what the banks will do, and this is what the Fed controls when they adjust interest rates, is that overnight rate. They will go out and borrow money from the Fed very easily to either cover what they need, or they will sell money to the Fed because they have excess cash. Yep. And so it's a function of the balance sheet, though, and managing the money. Because one, you know, let's say you have excess cash. You don't want that cash sitting overnight and not making any money. So you will give it to the Fed, and the Fed will give you an interest rate on it overnight. And then the other is, they will let you borrow money to balance on the short term overnight. And so that money is moving. I mean, every day at 4 o'clock at the county bank, somebody is figuring out what that number needs to be, whether we're buying or selling to the Fed, so that we can manage the bank properly. And it doesn't matter whether you're a $300 billion bank or whether you're a $400 million bank, you have to go through that exercise. And when the Fed sets rates, that's part of what they're impacting when they do that.
That's a good answer, Chris.
That's a great answer, yeah.
I appreciate that. Every now and then, I did go to banker school.
Yes. Text number two. Yes.
Valedictorian of the South Carolina bankers.
Yeah,
whatever. All right. So next question would be, is a termite inspection required by the bank before closing on a loan?
Great question.
It's a great question, and it depends on the type of loan. Most government loans, particularly a VA loan, is going to require on a purchase transaction that the veteran get a termite inspection. And the good news is
that the seller pay for it.
and that they can't pay for it.
Or the lender.
Or, seller, or the lender
somebody else, yeah.
has to pay for it. So the veteran has to get it, but you can't make the veteran pay for
or
it.
Or the buyer's broker.
Yeah,
that's true. I've done that many times, bro.
And then, of course, on and of course on government loans, which would be your FHA and your USDA, it could be yes or no. And then I tell you, Keith says this a lot. What's the contract say? Yep. And so if the contract calls for a termite, then we're going to say, where's the termite? If you give us the termite because it's on the contract and it has problems, then we're going to say, have these problems been resolved? But if Keith or any other agent, Keith less likely to do this, but any agent that would write a contract not requiring a termite on a conventional loan, we're not going to ask for it. We're not going to require it unless the appraiser says there's some evidence that they saw that would make it necessary.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right.
Next question.
I'm knocking them down.
We are.
All right, this is a JD question. What are the current rates on a 20-year fix? Now, that's loaded. Because
that's a loaded
it could be
question.
Government.
Is it purchase? Is it a government loan? Is it conventional?
Yes.
Is it cash out
but
refi?
Ballpark
what
them.
Loan to value? What credit score? Let's just answer that in a short answer and say mid threes. So you're probably going to be
plus or minus a little bit.
Going to be cheaper on a government loan.
Going to be cheaper than that on a government loan. On a conventional loan purchase, 80% LTV, 760 score, 3.5 range. Going to be plus or minus an eighth there.
Wow.
So
loan size matters. Credit score
loan
matters.
Size matters. Credit score
primary
matters.
Primary residence matters.
Everything matters.
But here's the good news. It could be whatever you want. Just give us a call.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
you
true.
Can. You can. We have some people buying them.
What's your favorite guy? You want 2.9? You want 1.9?
We got that.
Got it.
It's
going
to cost you $18,463, but we got it.
Yep.
But that's why we call them a custom quote. If you shoot JD an email and say, this is what I got, we'll tell you.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It doesn't cost you anything.
Should not be higher than the threes, though. I can
all
tell
right,
that much.
So the next test question was about the phone call that we just got. So we got that one knocked out on State Park Rogue. I would really I encourage Jenny to give JD a call at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And we'll go from there. Now, Keith, this is a good one. The buyer did not show up for closing.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a buyer not
the
show up for
closing? The realtor is responsible for the earnest for that. Or is the realtor responsible for the earnest money? Now, let's see. Hold on just a minute. Question, the sale is pending. The earnest money is to be collected. And the sale falls through, and you find out the earnest money was not collected. That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
I kind of read that text backwards. So, in this particular situation, there's earnest money on the contract. Generally on the contract, well, no, not generally. Always, it says who's going to hold that money.
It
right?
says who's going to hold it and when you receive it. Okay, so you don't have to give the earnest money at signing of the contract, but typically within 2 or 3 business days, you'll deposit the earnest money in the escrow agent's trust account. But what you're trying to ask is about a breach of a contract. What does the contract say? Who breached the contract? And when you talk about the realtor, you can't force your client to write you a check even though they promised to write the realtor
you can
check.
Ask for it,
that's
but
right.
you can't force
and
them.
And most agents would have a serious conversation with their client at the moment they did not receive the check.
All right,
let's
here's
say
a trick
48
question.
Hours.
If you were representing the buyer, would you then have a duty to let everybody know that you didn't have it?
Yes, I think you do.
Yeah, so yeah. What's the best advice in this
duty.
Situation is to reach out
to
the
broker in charge.
Broker in charge.
Yeah, the broker in charge is responsible for the performance and activities of all their agents. They typically are knowledgeable about the contract, and if you call them directly and have a conversation with them about it,
yes.
they will be able to answer your who, what, where, when, why question.
Yeah, so the last question, text question, is seems like multifamily is booming in Greenville. Is there still a need here? I have some acreage to possibly develop. I would say yes, and I would highly encourage you to investigate the low to middle income areas, because there is a great shortage of that type of
affordable housing,
especially in the downtown market.
Maybe we'll talk about that next week.
All right, well, listen,
Jenny,
I appreciate that. You've been listening to House Plans. We'll be back. Thanks for listening.